Hey there, and welcome back to the Zoho CRM podcast. I'm Cassie, your host for today, and we're flagging off our first episode for 2024 with Brian Minnick, COO of Zero Bounce, one of the most popular extensions within the Zoho marketplace. We truly appreciate Zero Bounce when it comes to everything email validation, and of course, can't wait to dive into how every business can make the most of their email campaigns with it and simultaneously smoothen their Zoho CRM experience. Brian is synonymous with Zero Bounce. From nuggets of wisdom to full-fledged tutorials, he has created a plethora of YouTube videos and blogs you can binge on to know how email isn't just necessary, but a powerful channel to engage with your customer base. Glad to have you on the show, Brian.
Thank you, Cassie. Thank you so much for having me. And I'm very excited to talk to everybody today.
Could you tell us a little more about Zero Bounce and your journey with the brand?
Yes, absolutely. So Zero Bounce, we are a leader in the email validation space. It's something that's very passionate to the founders and something that, you know, is really important out into the business world. And so we went to go solve a need that we wanted secure, fast, accurate, email validation. And so that's what Zero Bounce was founded on. And this is what we've kind of, you know, in 6 years, this is now where we are, which is a company that is very, very passionate about the results and the deliverability of our customers. And so we help our customers get into the inbox. We have tools that support it with, you know, validation, of course, but many other tools that can be in a toolkit for any person to improve their deliverability, monitor their deliverability, or get little, edges on being able to get into the inbox and avoid the bad data that lives in the email universe, which is a lot.
I can imagine we'll get into all of that as we progress with this interview. And apart from that, like, email has been a tricky channel to crack for engagement. So can you briefly state how and why businesses lose customers through their email campaigns?
Yes. So, the issue that we see is a few things. And keep in mind, we are doing billions of validations per year. So we see this at very large scale, and we're seeing it from businesses that are very small, with very small databases, under 100 records. And we see it people with massive databases, north of 100 million records. So we see everything kind of in between, above and below. And some of the things that we're seeing, especially in the last few years, is the churn of bad data. And so with the pandemic, with, you know, the silent quitting, the job churning, all of these different things, a lot of these emails that people have in their CRM systems are no longer valid data. And so unfortunately, what we're seeing is that people are continuing to hold this data and are very kind of keen on the thought process of quantity versus quality. And I'm sure I'll get into that more. But, you know, the data that's in your CRM is your, you know, it is your North Star. It is everything that has everything about your customer in it. And for almost every single business that we speak to, and I say almost because it's a very, very high percentage, email addresses are the unique identifier for the entire record. That is the whole baseline. And so, you know, with if that's wrong, then the whole record has issues and there's things to look at here. So, you know, you're dealing with bad data, you're storing it, you're managing it, you're downloading it, you're exporting it, and essentially you're bringing a whole bunch of kind of garbage with you when you don't need to do all of that.
Maybe we'll get into the first challenge that any business ever faces, which is reaching their customers' inbox. Brian, can you elaborate on email delivery versus deliverability?
Absolutely. So these terms are commonly used. I love to define them. I think definition of these words are very important because while they sound so similar, delivery and deliverability, they are so different. So delivery means that, and this is a common thing you'll see on the ESPs or wherever you send mail from. And it's very, again, it's a normal term. They will say email has been delivered. And all that really means is that it has been sent from the mail server. It is like a transaction almost. It happened. Okay. So they delivered mail, right? While that is good, of course, that has to happen in order to do your email marketing and your campaigns. What the key here is deliverability, which means your ability to be in the inbox. So, you know, what's really important for everyone to understand is that you cannot rely simply on your test emails to understand where your marketing campaigns or your sales emails, whatever emails you're sending, where they land. And so if they're landing in the spam folder, it was delivered, right? By definition, delivered, but your deliverability, meaning your ability for your message to be seen in the inbox, was not good. And so you really want to focus on the deliverability, making sure your emails are in the inbox to make sure you get the most ROI and effectiveness of your campaigns. And so a lot of people settle for delivered because that's what they know, but I'm here to educate on deliverability and the importance of inbox.
Perfect. I came across internet service providers actually, you know, assigning scores. And that brings me to, you know, the next question of, you know, what are the types of emails businesses should watch out for if they're actually being graded?
Yes. So there's a few different things. As a sender, you have a sender score. So yeah. I'll touch on that topic. I think that's really important and usually is new for a lot of people. But you have a sender score. And I want to make sure that it's really clear that it's not given to you by who you send from. So, you know, the platform you're sending from is not the one giving you the score. It is the people you send mail to. Those are the people who are scoring you. And so each provider, such as, you know, Gmail, Yahoo, even Zoho, right? You guys are accepting mail. You are going to give scores based on the kind of reputation, and it's a reputation score. So how customers are engaging with those emails when they get delivered, are they marking them as spam? Are your emails bouncing? These are a lot of things that can affect your reputation, and your reputation goes hand in hand with your deliverability. And so on the, you know, on that topic, your sender score is very important. And it's something you should measure if you can. There's lots of tools out there to do that. I personally really like Google for this, but there's lots of them. And the types of emails that you should really be watching out for, there's quite a few, but the big ones that stand out that most people are not aware of are things called spam traps. And these are emails that are created by the ISPs or mail providers. And they are designed to catch spammers. It is exactly as labeled. And so they put emails out on the internet. They put them on websites. They put them on different places that are able to be scraped by these bots. They're able to be scraped by the web scrapers and et cetera. But they have never signed up for mailing lists. They have never created accounts. They have not done the normal actions of people that would be getting on the list. And so if you have these emails, it is a signal to the mail servers that you are purchasing data or you're acquiring data in ways that are not best practices. And therefore, it is telling them that you are a spammer and they will blacklist you. And so you do not want to be purchasing data. That is one thing. They're full of spam traps. And you know, a lot of people think that the data they buy is clean. They get sold a great message in an email, but the truth of the matter is that list has been sold so many times and relabeled many times just so it feels personal to you. And so you have to really be careful. I would never advise people to purchase data because they will be full of spam traps. So please watch out for those. Don't purchase data, collect data the right way. Let's think about quality.
That's great advice. So how do you think, again, I mean, of course, bad data is bad, but how bad can it get for a business once that trickles into your CRM?
It's going to affect your deliverability. And that's what ultimately is going to define the success of your email and your email marketing. And so, you know, there's another kind of piece to bad data, just stepping back one more step, but it'll tie into your question. One more bad piece of data that can be living on your CRM is a real email address of people who are marking you as spam. So we call these people in the industry, we call these complainers or abusers. It depends upon how you want to kind of label that. But these are people that are marking your email as spam in their, you know, mail software when they view it. And it is unfortunately, a little heavily used. This can be used when people are just trying to unsubscribe. And that's unfortunately, it affects you as a sender because it's considered a complaint. So those are the kind of words that will be used. And too many complaints can lower your sending reputation and your sender score and get you into some trouble. And so a few tips here for maybe anybody who's listening and you're like, huh, I didn't think about this. Number one, never, never, never ask somebody to reply to your email to unsubscribe. If you are like me, this is an automatic report you as spam. I don't owe you a reply to unsubscribe. That's not part of the deal. No one's has ever had that as a requirement. So do not use that. Make sure you have proper unsubscribe links and honor the unsubscribes, obviously. But if people are marking you as spam, you want to know who those people are and you want to stop emailing them because it's not going to help you. The worst thing you can do is keep emailing them because they will keep marking you as spam. It's so important to make sure that you...
Are there any set limit and does it differ from provider to provider?
It does. Some providers can have different ones. However, the standard that really covers you in every scenario, from my experience, is 0.1%. And that is a scary number.
Yeah.
If you think about it.
Yeah.
That's one spam complaint for every 1,000 emails you send.
Wow.
That's not a lot. Mm-hmm. Right?
That's right.
And so, you know, if you're sending more, you get more, you know, percentage there. But you want to be careful and make sure you're not continuously emailing the people marking you as spam because you're going to, well, once you get over that threshold, you will potentially be landing in the spam folder. If it continues to get worse, you will get blacklisted, which and it's just important. You have to pay attention to these stats and you have to, you have to really focus on quality. That is really where we are. This is 2024. It's not about quantity. It's about quality of the emails you're sending to, the content you're sending them. All of that plays a big role.
Yeah, definitely. Listeners, stay until the end because there's so much we're going to talk about when it comes to the quality of your content. And before we dive into how businesses can increase their email campaign engagement, you should tell our listeners about, you know, what happened in December.
Yeah. So in December 2023, there was a big kind of push from Google. And Google is becoming, as a lot of people know, it is becoming very big in both the personal email world and the business email world. So Google Workspace is very popular. But for Gmail in particular, so gmail.com, the free accounts, they have gone and started a purging process of any account that has been inactive for 2 or more years. So what they're finding is a few things. Number one, there's a ton of people that create Google accounts and they use them once or abandon them or whatever takes place, right? Maybe they set up a test account to test something. But what happened is they're running out of space to let people freely create their emails. And so... Yeah. And they're also managing the data behind that, and no one's using it. So they put in this new rule, it's the Gmail purge starting December, that any account that is inactive for 2 or more years will be deleted and made inactive, which might affect emails that you have in your database. And so it's really important to go and validate that data before you try to market to them. Because if you have one of those emails, then your email is going to bounce and it's going to start to play back into the role that I was talking about with reputation. So we want to make sure you're getting everything kind of cleaned up, especially your Gmail data as of December.
Yeah, you also mentioned that Google and Yahoo have partnered to reduce spam and introduce some new rules starting February 2024. So can you break this down for us?
Yes, this is a very big one. This one is there's three changes that are being forced by Google and Yahoo. And I do want to just, again, I actually love to highlight this.
Yeah.
We have to pay attention because Google and Yahoo got together and agreed. That's groundbreaking to me.
Yeah, that's huge.
In the industry.
They've been in logger. I mean, like at least healthy competition, let's say.
Yeah. I mean, you know, it's really showcasing how important this is. And in my opinion, they are leading this pack and everyone else will follow as a result. And they should, to be very honest. So let's talk about the three things that they're changing. And their goal is to reduce spam. And also, it's not just spam. It's to reduce spoofing. It's to reduce phishing attempts. You know, cybersecurity and the threats, they're getting more and more clever. They're, you know, it's terrible, unfortunately. But there's things we can do to reduce that and to mitigate it. And now they're kind of putting some of those checks in place to start to push the industry. So I'm actually very excited about this. I think it's great. But I love change. So for those who don't, sorry. Yeah. But I'm on the side of change is good.
Yeah. Yes.
So let's talk about it. Step one is a one-click unsubscribe. This will be handled by your ESPs, whoever's sending mail.
Got it.
And it's basically just the ability for a customer to unsubscribe with one click and not get put into this funnel process of what emails don't you want to unsubscribe to? Are you sure? Please confirm.
Mm-hmm.
They want it to be quick and easy for people.
For them to unsubscribe, but here it's just, hey, no more questions asked.
Yes. And again, if someone doesn't want your emails, the best thing you can do is let them unsubscribe. And here's why. Okay. Unsubscribe is considered email engagement. Okay. Email engagement is when people interact with your email. So when they click unsubscribe, the mail servers see a click. Clicks are good. So if somebody doesn't want your emails and they want to unsubscribe, don't be offended. It's okay. It's a percentage game. It happens to every single person, every company. They unsubscribe. It's fine. Honor it. Let them unsubscribe quickly. So that's kind of piece one that they're doing. Piece two is they want spam complaints to be at, they're saying no higher than 0.3%, but ideally 0.1%. And so they're, again, really starting to focus on the amount of people marking email as spam. Mm-hmm. And so 0.3% is actually a high number, even though it sounds not high at all. That's a high number, in my opinion, from the industry, which is more set towards 0.1%. So my guess is that this will continue to go down, this number. And this is their starting point to make sure that you're paying attention to the amount of people who mark your email as spam. So that's step two. And I do want to highlight that for any emailers who are sending to, you know, new people on their list or potentially acquiring data in the proper ways, there's lots of valid ways to acquire data, such as you purchased a company. Maybe now you have their data and you want to email them the announcement. That's fine. Zero Bounce and part of our validation process, we can identify people that are known to mark as spam when they had every ability to unsubscribe. And then the last point, which is very exciting for a few reasons, it is email authentication. They want your emails to be authenticated. And what they're really saying is there is a concept that's been out here for a very long time, as long as I can remember, not heavily used as much as it should be, but now it's starting to get used more, which is great. This is called DMARC. It stands for Domain-Based Messages Authentication Reporting and Conformance. And so what this means, it sounds complicated, but don't worry. It's actually super simple.
Okay.
What you're doing is you are basically putting monitoring in place. That is what is required for February. Monitoring the emails that are going out from your domain.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason for this is because this will start to highlight people who are potentially spoofing your email, who are phishing from your domain, and it is a security policy. So it comes with some other items on there, such as SPF and DKIM. I'm not gonna get into that today because that might get too technical or complicated, but DMARC is very simple. Zero Bounce also can help you with this. We have DMARC monitoring set up. It is so simple. You go into the platform, add your domain, and we give you a record to add to your DNS, and you are done. That has to be in place for February if you're sending to 5,000 Gmail or Yahoo users. I've had a lot of questions about this. So
below 5,000, it's fine? Or is it only emailers that come above it is what we get flagged?
Yeah, so this is a great question. And I'm getting this question a lot. So here's my advice. if you are sending mail at any level, you should have DMARC, whether that's 5,000 or not. And here's why. What I see and what I've seen in my entire career, I've been in operations and tech my entire career. And when I've helped our marketing teams with items or whatever it might be, what people don't realize is what's happening that you're not aware of. And so marketing is sending out, and let's say they have 2,000 people in their contacts. Let's just use an easy number. What they didn't realize was that their sales team has been emailing 10,000 people a week that are not part of that 2,000. All of that is now combined, but you as marketers might not know what's going on with the sales team, or the tech team is sending emails out. Maybe it's transactional emails, whatever it might be. All of these things add up. Your domain is monitored at a domain level, right? Not your marketing manager's
level. Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm.
And so the simplicity of this concept of DMARC, plus Google and Yahoo has made clear announcements on this, that if it was set up, it's going to improve your deliverability no matter what. And this is something that Zero Bounce has always pushed for. Whenever people come to us and ask us, how can we improve our deliverability? It is, you need to be, are you authenticating your emails properly? It is a security tool. And so it makes your email content and your email messaging more secure, and the mail servers can see it. So they know it's coming from you. They know that you are the ones who actually authorized this piece of mail, and it gives you a boost in deliverability. So it's a super important little concept here called DMARC, D-M-A-R-C. Yeah. And again, so simple to set up. It can be set up in under 5 minutes if you have access to DNS or someone who does.
Yeah.
And you're off and running. It's really actually that simple. And a lot of people are trying to dodge this. I'm not sure why, but I don't recommend anyone to not have this in place. Everyone should, whether you send more than 5,000 emails or less, you should have DMARC set up.
Amazing. Thank you so much for that. And maybe now we can get into the marketing side of things, where, you know, what is your advice when it comes to increasing engagement with an email campaign, like tips and formats that make content work? For example, like how we can maybe not, you know, have people unsubscribe.
So I think a few of the things here, we have to remember a few things. Number one, that the engagement, and let's define engagement. These are your opens, your clicks, your forwards, you know, whatever it might be. If they're engaging with that email and they're not unsubscribing or marking you as spam, let's stick to good engagement, right? Like super positive engagement.
Yeah.
These are things that are like, they're like the gold of email marketing, okay? Mm-hmm. They're sending signals to the mail servers. They're sending positive signals back from the people who sent the mail and delivered the mail from, you know, from Zoho. And what's happening is it's giving you like, I don't know if this is the right term, but it's how I think about it. Like, it's like brownie points. It's good. They are like, wow, this is great. This is a great sender. People love their content. People are engaging with the content. You're going to get a leg up if you can increase the amount of people that are opening, clicking, and converting through your email marketing because of all those reasons. The mail servers, that's their job, right? So we have to think also, what is the point of Yahoo's email service? What's the point of Gmail's email service, right? It is to put mail in front of people that they wanted and expected, right? That's their job. And so if you can check those boxes and get your email in front of them, and then they open it and then they click through it, This is perfect. You are the perfect sender in their world. And so we want to focus on different ways and some tricks and tips. There's some different technologies you can use. Subject lines are super important for open rates. I think we all know that. There's some great tools out there to either rewrite your subject line to make it more exciting.
According to humor subject line, because I think some brands really try too hard with humor. And, you know, what do you think works, like maybe an honest subject line versus something quirky? What do you think?
It obviously very much depends upon what you do as a business and who your audience is, right? And so I can say when things are important and we put emphasis on, you know, like important messaging, immediately think of what your brain does. Your brain, if I get an immediate important message from my, you know, my bank, do you want to open that email? Absolutely. I do.
Yeah.
Right. I'm now like, uh-oh, is this good? Something bad happened, but I feel urgency.
It's precautionary, a reaction.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Versus something much more casual, such as see my new clothing option.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's boring. I don't want to see your new clothing option. But if you told me, look at the latest trend in clothing, and here's examples.
Platform matters a lot. I guess emails always considered important messages versus maybe clothing band. Maybe I'd go on Instagram for that. To check out this update. So yeah, I guess that matters as well. Yeah.
Yeah, the subject line is important. You know, there's tips and tricks. I'd really love to plug a website if that's comfortable with you, but we have subjectline.com.
Okay.
Is an amazing tool. You can put your own, you can put your current subject line in there and they will score it.
Okay.
And on top of it, give you suggestions that they think would help with the engagement. It is an amazing tool. I recommend it for everybody. And it's free, totally free. So there's tools like that can really help you. And again, so step one, there's three steps here. First, you must inbox.
Yeah.
No one's checking their spam folder. So let's rule that out. Don't think about spam folders. Good. It's terrible. Don't be there. So now we're in the inbox. You're doing all the right things. And now the first is to get a subject line that gets people interested, right? And then how do we get to the next step, which is how do I make them click or forward this to their friend or reply? Maybe that's the conversion you're looking for is a reply. We have to break this stuff down and you have to think from their point of view. I see too many marketers thinking from the marketing point of view, and it's wrong. It has to be actually inverse. Think as if you're the customer. And that's going to help you, you know, when would you open those emails? Why would you click? Versus, hey, manager, I'm going to get our open rates up by, you know, changing something that made more sense to you as the marketer. Focus as if you're a customer. How would you engage? How would you do this? That's what's going to help you. And use some of the tools around you to make sure. And there's tons of tools. There's, you know, the content's very important. The images, how many links, where are they linked to? You know, that can all get very complicated and complex. But you want to test. And if you're inboxing with everything, you should be in a better shape. And then if you're able to get them to open, your next step is giving something that is so good that they have to click. That's how I think about it. They have to click it.
Maybe you can talk to us also about, you know, what CTAs work or segmentation and relevance when it comes to our email campaign.
Yeah, obviously the call to actions are important, right? The CTA is what kind of prompts people to maybe do something. And there's lots of science behind this for anyone who's very new to it. The color, the placement, the font, the size. A lot of this plays into roles there, and there's some great tools out there to guide you or, you know, to show you what they've seen work.
What are some no-nos when it comes to a newsletter for you? What are, like, absolute no-nos?
Absolute no-nos is trying, the first one that comes to my mind, obviously, because of what I do, is I see too many people try to bury the unsubscribe link. That's gotten better, meaning they'll put, like, 50 returns, right, or paragraphs, blank space to push this unsubscribe button so far
That's
down.
Right.
Be creative. Make your unsubscribe link look cool. Who cares?
Yeah.
Again, if that's what they're looking for, don't try to make it difficult to find. That's you're thinking as a marketer, not as a customer. So that's kind of one thing. Obviously, I personally do not like when people make the whole email images. We should all be very conscious. People are checking email on their phone. And if I kind of click something that I didn't want to click, I get actually frustrated mentally about it. And I'm kind of mentally dinging you on your email campaigns because you're like clickbaiting me almost. Like I didn't want to click, but you made me click because the entire email is an image and I just tried to scroll on my mobile phone. So those are no-nos to me. The other part that's a I don't know the right term. It's not a yes, but you know, the opposite of the no-nos is segment the content and put the right messages to the right people at the right time. If I can simplify something into one sentence, that's it. The right message to the right people at the right time. You know, again, email marketers, we're all busy. We're always behind. I get it. We're always, you know, did that email go out? But we have to think about who's receiving the email. What's the right messaging for that person? And how can I break my list down? That's a key that I do think is important. It's going to increase your engagement. So instead of sending, let's say I'm a clothing company, instead of sending an email to my entire clothing, my customer base that says, hey, I've released a new line of product or a new line of sweaters, think about this deeper. Grab data, start tracking data as to what these people are buying. Maybe they're buying floral prints. Maybe this person's buying, you know, loves leather jackets. Now I take a segment of data and say, hey, you know, subset, instead of 1,000 people, now I email 50 and say, and you know, add zeros. It doesn't matter how many are on your list. Yeah. And now I say, hey, I saw you love leather jackets. Here's a new one that we just released.
That's true. That's true. And that's right. Where also, you know, Zoho CRM comes in, where you have your purchase history right in front of you, and you know, getting that those lists together also becomes super easy then.
Yeah, so we need to do more tagging. We need to, and of course, the tools are out there doing it, right? Zoho's doing it, but people, are they using it? That's actually the question, right? And so you have to use
so much data, and we don't know how to use it. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, so you know, again, why send an email to 10,000 people telling them about your new clothing line when I can send 5 emails to that subset of people, and I'm telling them exactly what I know they want? The engagement levels will dramatically change. Your open rates are going to go way higher. Your click-through rates are going to go way higher because you targeted. You put something in front of somebody that they wanted, and it's cold out. I want a new sweater. If my wife got that email, she's buying it, I promise. So, you know, think like that. Think like your customer. What do they want, and when do they want it? And then give it to them.
True that. You can tell us when was the first time you heard about, you know, Zoho CRM and what you find very intriguing about the brand.
So I feel like I've been in it. I'm not an old person, but as long as I've ever been in technology, I've heard of Zoho. You know, from different people, from different organizations. And when we had the plugin built for it, I was so excited because I'm like, this is great. But my favorite parts about Zoho, and one thing that you know, I really admire, because we also take a similar approach, is you don't have to be the massive email marketer the massive company. Or if I'm a small company, I can use Zoho. I can be a one-man shop and use Zoho, or I can have 1,000 employees and use Zoho. Yeah. I love that because you've built it in a way that works at any scale. And that's exactly what we did at Zero Bounce as well, because there's so many customers out there and the cases don't really change. But I look at other big tools and you don't want those if you have a small company. I don't even want them if I have a big company, but they're so complicated. They're so complex. And Zoho's done always such a good job at making it easy, scalable, both up and down, and super affordable. And I always appreciate that as part of Zoho.
So much for this insightful chat, Brian. It was a pleasure having you on the show with us. If you like to know more about Zoho CRM's extension with Zero Bounce, do check out the link in the description box below. I'm Cassandra, your host for today. Thank you for listening in, and follow us on our social media accounts for updates on future episodes.